congregation, in the beginning of this chapter, Paul first comforted his people. And he said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ. It means no accusing condemnation, not at all, for those who are in Christ Jesus, covered with him, blessed by him, in communion with him. And then he speaks about the spiritual strife of a child of God. Flesh against the spirit, carnal flesh against the spirit. Therefore, I said this morning, when some people entered the confession of faith and publicly confessed his name, in old age they said, welcome in the warfare, in the strife. I have striven, says Paul, the good strife. Now I'm leaving for home to be with him. There is a strife in the life of the children of God. And the biggest and most serious enemy is my old nature that never surrenders to the law of God, and it cannot. It's enmity against God. The enemy is within us. Therefore Paul says, if you walk by the flesh or after the flesh, under the commandment of the flesh, you die. But if you walk under the operation, under the power, under the strength of the Spirit, you live. For where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Liberty, eternal liberty in Christ Jesus. In congregation, we have dealt with it this morning. This evening, we'll speak about the work of the Spirit. Paul continues, and he speaks and he teaches what it means to know the power of the Spirit of God, walking after the Spirit of God. And there are three things to be said, but I'm not saying it now. Three things to be said in this portion of the Scriptures about the operations of the Holy Ghost in the life of the children of God, in the life of hypocrites too, in the life of hypocrites too. Why do you say it, Pastor? Well, in that old Bible, it's not only spoken about saving operations of the Spirit, but about common operations of the Spirit for a time. Like Demas, he left the Apostle Paul and loved the world and walked after his flesh and died. We call it temporal faith. For a short time. It's a work of the Spirit, but it's not saving work of the Spirit. And we should discern in these days between saving work of the Spirit and common works of the Spirit. Even congregation, the other way around, you can have a common work of the Spirit of joy. They took and God grace by joy, but it had no depth. And therefore, when the sun came, it withered. They received the gospel with joy, but there was no depth, and the seed wasn't fruitful, withered, and died. But don't tell me that it wasn't a work of the Spirit. It was a temporal work of the Spirit. We say common work of the Spirit, not general work of the Spirit. General work of the Spirit is let the sun shine, renew the earth in creation. But a common work is a work in the soul, but not savingly. And we should discern in our days. And if you don't, you mislead the people. You should discern. If there is no discerning truth anymore, away, congregation, away. Why do you say this? To warn, but also to encourage. To see the saving work of the Spirit of God. And Paul speaks about it in this portion. But let's first sing again. 428, 2, 4, and 7. 428, 2, 4, and 7. Where we will sing together of 428, 2, 4, and 7. Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid. Let all my ways be ever be directed to keep thy statutes so to be obeyed. And then the fourth, thy precepts have I hid within my heart. And then the last, the seventh, how I love thy law. Yea, thou canst see. And what's following? 2, 4, and 7, 428. Paul speaks to the church of Rome, therefore, brethren, they were made brethren. You know, if you listen carefully to the Gospels, the apostles were called brethren by the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. Say it to my brethren that I will meet them at the Sea of Galilee. After the resurrection, when Christ had given his righteousness and shed his blood, he called his disciples brethren. Now we know that there is only one natural Son of God, who was born out of God before all ages. But the church, the children of God, are called in the Bible brethren. And you know out of this chapter that they are adopted children against their nature. Adopted by grace in Christ Jesus. The spirit of adoption unified them with Christ in his spiritual body. Adoption. But if you listen carefully to this portion of the scriptures, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Debtors? Guilty? Again? But you have to think about the Old Testament. When a slave was ransomed, he was set free. But that slave could and would be able to stay with his master. He could. But then he had to go to a door and a sharp pin would pierce his ear. That he only by love, not by obligation, not by the law, serve his God. That's Christ, but also a true Christian. Not by the law, but by love. By the love put out, God's love towards me, by the Holy Ghost put out in my heart. I probably used the example more than once here, but let's do for those who never heard it. You know that in the southern states of the United States, they kept their slaves for a long time. But in the northern states, they released them earlier. Wasn't it? And a lawyer from the southern states came in New York and heard that the slaves were set free, liberated, could go their own ways. And when he came down, and I don't know the state, it doesn't matter, he had a little girl slave serving in the household. And he called her in his office. He said, "Mary, today you're free. Go where you want." He pronounced her free. But she started crying. She said, "Master, can I stay here? I want to serve thee out of love, not out of duty anymore." Let's be an adapter for grace's sake. You understand me? It's not guiltiness, it is be an adapter for grace's sake, for mercy's sake. That word is used here. Come in short to answer the love of God You're a debtor to it. How do I love thy law? How do I love thy law? It doesn't condemn me anymore. It's the rule of love. It's the rule of a Christian life. But not by duty, but by love. How do I love thy law? To the dot and the comma. Love is more precise than duties. When you're a servant, you start working at 8 o'clock. And you leave at 5. And if you can't start 4:55 to clean your workplace, lean or your broom. But if you're a child and love is put out in your heart, your father can wake you up in the midst of the night and say, hey, take care of it, we need you. Oh, Father, I love you. I'll come and do thy will. And if you have ever had grace, dear friend, you're a debtor to love. May I serve thee, Lord? Not out of duty and fear, but out of love and peace. Do you think the service of God is hardened, heavy? My burden is light. My burden. Light. No fear, but love. And therefore Paul says, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to obey the desires of our flesh, sinful desires as enmity against God, but to live. For then ye shall die. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So not a debtor to the flesh, but a debtor to grace and Christ, by grace only, by love. Oh, and I've said it already, how do I love thy law? It's my pleasure, day and night. Is it? And I've said this morning, then you have an enemy within. But I've spoken about it this morning extensively. But then there comes a text which brings me a question mark. For then Paul says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. It seems to be that Paul says to the brethren that there can be a brother that lives by the flesh. A hypocrite. Obeying the flesh. And he will die. Now, I gave the example of Demas, who loved the present world and left the Apostle Paul. It was a temporal faith. Now, Pastor, you make the people of God anxious. No, I'm not. I won't. But we should separate truth from lie. If that's not going to go anymore in the church, you will all be misled. The Holy Spirit can work, Hebrews 6:4, then you can have taste the powers of the world to come and leave. Just for a time. And leave. By the grace of God, God gave me to work in the church for 40 years. So I went to the Netherlands and preached in my old congregations. And I've met them. And I've seen them coming and going. They received it with joy, but no depth. Stony ground. For time. And I believe there's a kind of judgment over the church. And you see more and more that named Christians are leaving. Nominal Christians are leaving. They might have clapped their hands and spoken of grace. No more. They die. That's first thing. So there can be a work of the Spirit. And now I say it last time, and then we continue. We call it a common work of the Spirit. Common convictions, common joy, but not savingly. Not savingly. Not savingly. What savingly grace? Well, this. But this is truth. But, it's God's but, not yours. But, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So if the Spirit of God works savingly in your heart, you must mortify, no. You will mortify. You will mortify the deeds of the body, of the flesh. Bring them to death. If the Spirit works in you, you will mortify your body, the members of your body, of your selfishness. And own glory. How then, Pastor? Question, Lord's Day 33, let's go to the catechism. Of how many parts does the true conversion of man consist? The true conversion. Hear it? Of two parts. Of the mortification of the old man. And I say old man, it's old. And the quickening of the new man. It's dying and living. That's what the work of the Spirit does. In the soul of a child of God. Now, what is mortification? What is the mortification of the old man? It's a sincere sorrow unto God. Pain. That I've slapped Christ in his face many times. Be ye not faithful to him. But let's read it. It's a sorrow of the heart to have provoked God. It does pain. You start crying. We call it evangelical repentance. What does hurt more, legal repentance or evangelical repentance? What does hurt you more? I stood at the cemetery when we buried my father. And sorry, I cried. I had such a good father, but I wasn't a good son. It was sorrow. I've such a good Savior, but I'm not such a good Christian. I sorrow. Breaks me. By our sins. And what are the fruits of it? For that sorrow is a fruit of love. Hear me? That sorrow is a fruit of love. Now what's the fruit of that sorrow? More and more, because the love of God is poured out by the Holy Ghost in your heart, to hate sin. Not to say, I'm a dead sinner, I can't help it. But to hate sin. And if you hate sin, there's another fruit. What's the fruit? To flee sin. Not to feed it. Not to use your phone to see dirty things. Not to go to an environment where you don't belong. Not to have friends that mock with God. Not to have your pleasures in the pleasure of the world. Hate it and flee it. Can you give an example? I can. Joseph. 70 years old. 17 years old. And day and night, that nice woman of Potiphar, who was not a man, he was demasculined. He was not a man anymore. He was a eunuch. And that woman said to Joseph, come and lay with me. Now he says, I can't resist it. No, he didn't. What did he do? He said, shall I do such a great sin and sin against God? And he fled. He didn't say, no, yeah, it doesn't matter. I can go everywhere and God will protect me. He didn't say that. Even some people who think they are reformed defend their sins out of their dead state. That's wrong. Flee because you hate, for Christ's sake, who took your sins to die. How can you live by it and defend it going into the world? And do you know, if God gives a revival in the United States and in Europe, do you know where it will start? Sorrowing, we have sinned. Like in the days of Ezra. Ezra took the Bible and read it in front of the temple. And they started to cry. We have sinned. We have sinned. And they threw away all the idols and worshiped their God. Revival doesn't start, and I say it again, with clapping hands. And I'm not saying that clapping hands can't happen. I know, even the mountains clap their hands. But if there is a real revival in the congregation, in the world, and I believe it will still come. Now, yeah, Pastor, you're against all the tithes. Okay, let me be. that if there starts a revival, you will start to cry that you have sinned against God. Against the gospel preaching. Against grace. For the first time, for a new. Then you would know God lives among us. And my dear congregation, I have the second instance. When I read the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. That everyone considers by himself his sins after grace. Sins against the gospel. And curse. Due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God. Congregation, the poor in spirit are the ptochoi, and the kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor in spirit. But one thing I will tell you, he will wipe away your tears. And he says to you, don't cry. My righteousness is enough for you. It covers your old nature. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When a revival would start again, the United States of America would weep and cry, we have sinned against thee and are not worthy to be thy child. And it starts with the children of God. There it starts. And if it doesn't start there, it starts nowhere. For judgment begins with the church of God. Considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, there you have the gospel. What I just explained, that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished my sins after grace. My sins of shortcoming. What's more, sins of acts of sins of shortcoming. Sins of shortcoming. He has punished the same. In his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death in the cross. Now that's the first part. Second part is that you still believe that God has forgiven your sins. Still believe. The last part is that you have a desire to walk in the way of the Lord. I'm not extensively going into these three parts. But the three parts are misery, forgiveness of sins, and thankfulness. It's an ongoing circle. It's a spiral that goes deeper. Dig and you find more sins, ye sinner. Not to bring you negatively on the spot, But that what's the catechism, but also the form of the administration Lord's Supper does. He brings you with your sins and shame to the shameful death of Christ Jesus. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In congregation, that's what Paul says here. That's what he says. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that's by sorrow, hate, and fleeing. The deeds of the body, ye shall live. Ye shall live. And there it goes, for as many as, and those are led by the Spirit if they know these things. That's the fruit of the work of the Spirit in the heart of the children of God. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. If you are just led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. Mortifying by sorrow, hating and fleeing sin, and living by righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Our Lord, have mercy on this old sinner, on this old sinner. Let's sing 120, 2, 3, and 4. 120, 2, 3, and 4. On thy strength alone relying, why am I cast off by thee? In my helpless sorrow sighing, while the foes oppresses me. 2, 3, and 4, 120. There are more blessings of the work of the Spirit in the hearts of the children of God. And we continue reading. I've read already, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, adopted sons, not by nature, but by grace. That's different. That's a word that gives the reason for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, what's the work of the Spirit first in the soul of a child of God? It's the spirit of fear. They want to skip it. Wrong. Therefore, Paul says, you have not the spirit of bondage again. Again. Not continuous. Not again. So you had it. There was a convicting power of the Spirit. We call it the paidahochos unto Christ. For the end of the law is Christ. The purpose of the conviction is to bring you to Christ. And don't tell me that's not the truth. That's the truth. They start today immediately by faith. But if God starts to work in your soul, Christ says he convicts the world that they didn't believe and have not believed. Don't be misled by temporal faith, by a structure that's not divine. There is a people of God under conviction that fears to die. And they are afraid that they die immediately. Time is up. No, not me, Pastor. Probably you don't know these things here. I hope you do. And I'm not speaking about the measure. Because some people want to have convictions as pay money to get grace. You hear me? Say, now I'm convicted and not ready for grace. If you're really convicted, you're not ready for grace anymore. It's over with you. No? Then you don't know it. You never knew it. If God starts to work, he brings you before his judgment seat. And it's over with you. I'm not going on a long way. But if the Spirit of God works, he starts working by conviction. And he doesn't let you go unless you, by grace, accept judgment. No. No? Then you don't know it. In the Bible it says that if you're convicted before the judge, do you know what they do? They stick their nose in the ground, lay flat on the floor. And by laying on the floor, sticking their nose in the dust, they accept judgment. And do you know what the Bible says? Then the judge comes and lifts up your chin. And he says, grace unto you, my dear son. He pays your penalty. That's the wonder, my dear friend, of all wonders. That such a vile sinner as me have been set free by him who was bound instead of me. Condemned to death, going to hell. But raised because he paid the penalty. He paid my penalty. Therefore, if the Spirit of God starts working continuing, then he says he received the Spirit of adoption. What's adoption? To be contrary to your human nature, being adopted in the family of God. I know adoptions. I've seen adoptions. But do you know what we like to adopt? Nice and neat girls, nice and neat boys, with good brains and a perfect background. But do you know what God adopts? Sinners. With not such a good background. The troubled mind. Convicted to death. Therefore, after Christ suffered on the cross and paid the penalty, finished the work, he says to his disciples, say to my brethren, I paid their penalty. And then you receive the Spirit of adoption. And what does that Spirit say, the Holy Spirit? It cries in you. It sighs in you. It prays in you. It's the Spirit of supplication and prayer, isn't it? But more, that Spirit testifies, oh ye sinners, that you're a child of God. For he cries in you, Abba, that's Hebrew, and Father is Pater, is Greek, for Jew and heathen. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, for Christ's sake, and by the testimony of the Spirit in your heart, he testifies in your soul, your child of God. Oh, Pastor, that wishy-washy. Yeah. We have a time and age that they say it's better to doubt than to know. God's people can't. That Spirit testifies. I don't testify. And if that Spirit testifies, I testify by that Spirit. What? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That we are the children of God. He testifies it with your spirit. That is your child of God. He doesn't say probably you're not, or it's better to doubt than to know. In the Roman Catholic Church, they say, if you are assured, that's a sin. For they combine grace and works. And they say your works are never enough. So if you are assured, you're probably another Christian. But listen, the Spirit testifies to my and with my spirit that I'm a child of God. No, we are a child of God. Communion of saints. And if that Spirit testifies in your soul, testifies in my soul to be a child of God. Sometimes even you can't speak a child of God, and there is a testimony of the Spirit that you know it. Am I a stranger now? I had a friend, and I have that friend still in the Netherlands. He got a child that was handicapped very severely. And he went always to Antwerp for surgeries. But he had to give them oxygen and lay him almost in a bed to bring him to the hospital. But one day he walked in Antwerp, and an old black lady said, "This child is a child of God. You won't have it long anymore, but it will speak, although it has never spoken, and testify." And it happened. The Spirit of God is God. And God doesn't speak by two words, yes or no. If he testifies the truth in your soul. And your spirit are united with the Holy Spirit that we are. We, communion of saints in Christ, are children of God. And in Christ, God has become our with fatherly care, fatherly love, fatherly chastisement, fatherly convictions, fatherly drawings. For whom he loves, he chastises. And if you have no chastisements, you're not a child of God. That's another mark of a real child of God. God knows how to humble you, not to be a proud Christian, but a beggar Christian, a ptochoi. For them, to them belongs the kingdom of God, beggars. Luther says, God makes you a beggar, and if grace is continuing in your soul, he keeps you to be a beggar. Lord, direct my feet, my eyes, my hands, for I can trust myself, Lord. I'm a fool, but thou art wise. Lead me in the path of righteousness, otherwise I'll really run out of it as soon as I can. No, yeah. If God doesn't prevent you, you will. But that love of the Father is an eternal love. For I have loved Jacob and hated Esau. No? Yeah. And God doesn't decline his love towards you. And if you're a child, you're an heir. The world belongs to you. The whole universe belongs to you because it belongs to Christ. You're an heir of God. A child is an heir because it's a child. You're an heir of God and a co-heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. What belongs to him belongs to you. You don't believe it? Say that the word is not true. Say that the word is not true. Testify that the word is not true. You don't know how rich you are, dear friend. What belongs to my Savior belongs to me. You don't know, but you have in Christ. If you're a true Christian, set free by grace in the hour of judgment, by faith alone, and by the concealing power of the Spirit, the assuring power of the Spirit, the assuring power of the Spirit, then I'm a child of God. Oh, Pastor, you can never know it for sure. Do you know why? You mix law and gospel, works and grace. Then you can never be sure. It's all by grace and grace alone. But then the second thing, and that's the last for this night. If you're a child of God, you suffer with Christ. If you have communion with Christ, you suffer here with Christ. You will be made a martyr. In Greek, the word for suffering is martyrein, and the word martyr comes from it. If you're a Christian, God has a people under the cross. But the cross brings them home. Under the cross. In the days of the separation, you had congregations, they were called under the cross, congregations under the cross. God knows how damn you, that you would live by grace only. He knows how to use the enemies to attack you and to bring you low. He knows how to use your own flesh as enmity against God. That fight you. But again, I start in the beginning of this chapter. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Although, in the early ages of Christianity, if you said that you were just a Christian, named the name of Christ, you immediately were brought to the stake. Hundreds, thousands, millions. Why? To tread the path of Jesus. If you suffer with him, you will be glorified with him. If they hate you for Christ's sake, congratulations. Now, that's not a good word in this sermon, Pastor. I say congratulations. If you have the marks of the Lord Jesus, they hate you in church, they hate you outside of church, they hate you in your workplace. Goldberger said, when I came to the knowledge by the revelation of Christ to my soul, they turned immediately their heads away from me and didn't greet me anymore. It looked like if they smelled it, he said. I'm a Goldbergian. Pastor, you shouldn't speak about Goldberger. No, but he understood the scriptures proper. Law and gospel. Cut off from the old Adam, engrafted by grace and faith, sealed by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Testimony that I'm a child of God and have an everlasting future when I pass away. There have been times in my life I couldn't die. I didn't want to die. But when God saved my soul, I had the desire to be with the Lord Jesus. You understand me? For a while, we suffer. 10 days. With him. It's not only given to you to believe in him, says Paul to the Philippians, but to suffer for his name's sake. That's a gift of grace. You can't try to escape it. You won't. For if you suffer with him, you will be glorifying his name in eternity. Do you see them? The 144 clothed in white robe. And John said, where are they coming from? Who are they? And do you know what the angel said? He said, they are coming from the great suppression. Having their clothes whitened in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Welcome in the strife. I hope that you have no power to win the battle, But his strength is made perfect in your weakness. That ultimately he will say, to thee be the glory forever. O Father who had elected me, O Son who ransomed me, O Holy Spirit who applied it all to me. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Ghost. May I ask you, God knows you, how is it with your eternal soul on your way to eternity? Do you have an assured hope that God will fulfill all the promises he promised to you? For he makes his word truth and never deviates from it. For he is yesterday, today, and forever the same. To be, him be the glory, to him alone. O ye children of God in our midst, the best is coming. Once your strife will end and your fight will pass away, when you will share the glory of the Messiah and be in his communion. How long, Lord? How long wilt thou delay? How long wilt thou delay to come unto me? May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word, and oh, that there might be the spirit of discernment in this congregation. Not eaten all, but try the word. For there are many antichrists coming into the church, putting the Christians first in their ways, from earth to heaven, and not from heaven to earth and return. Lord, we thank thee to be with the congregation which we had the grace to work for some years. Forgive us. Forgive us when we were selfish, when we were seeking our own glory, when we didn't hate sin, but where world conformity enters into the congregation. World conformity. And I know some people didn't come back this evening. I don't know why, but that the arrow might hit their hearts and never pull it out, Lord, draw them in today and anoint them with thy spirit, the spirit of peace, the spirit of liberty, the spirit of glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.